Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Tyler Gunther, Chris Whitman, and Tim Keller to bring us all in the huddle. This is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. Let's get to it with Tyler, Chris, and Tim.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. I'm your host, Tim Keller. Along with me are my two fantastic co-hosts, Chris Whitman and Tyler Gunther. Chris, I'm going to let you go first and get you out of the way. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing swell, rather tired. The weather is terrible. And yeah, I had a nice lecture today and it was cool, you know, fun day.
Well, we were off for 2 weeks, so it's good to hear your voice again, Chris. But
you don't mean that.
Tyler, you've had a week now to let everything process and wash over you. You know, I'm sure that there was one point last Sunday where you were ecstatic. You were probably ready to go through the roof, and then things kind of changed a bit. So how you feeling? How'd you do that day, especially?
Honestly, it was a great game. It was a great game to watch as a general football fan. Yes, it's disappointing. It's always disappointing when your team loses the Super Bowl. But to be honest with you, I felt comfortable. And then my soon to be brother-in-law, well, not brother-in-law, but my sister's new husband, she just got engaged. He texts me saying, "Wow, your team did it. Congratulations. Good win."
Are you blaming him for the jinx?
Yes, I'm very superstitious. I texted him back instantly and I said, "Don't even say that. You just ruined it for me." When they lost, he was the first person I texted and I said, "Thank you very much. They lost because of you."
If you only knew the amount of trash I talked, Tyler, how much trash I was talking on Facebook, especially.
Oh, I would have been twitching. I would have just been going nuts. But yeah, like I said, it was a great game to watch. Probably the best Super Bowl I've seen. And that's, that's everything, even the Seattle game. But that's probably because it was from a big time fan perspective. You know, I was really watching. So yeah, it'll be tough. They have a lot to come, you know, they have a lot to go through this offseason with the losses. But yeah, hopefully they'll be back.
Definitely a fantastic football game. I, for sure, end of the second quarter and beginning of the third, I just penciled the Falcons in. I thought for sure they had it. And I want to say screw you to the Pats at 2 points during this game, the end of the second quarter and then the end of the third quarter. Played a couple Super Bowl blocks. I had the numbers right. And then the Pats had to go and have a score there right towards the end of the quarter and mess me up. But yeah, great game. If that had been like a week six game, just seeing a team come back from that deficit, the way that game was going, that was a heck of a comeback. So congratulations to the Pats and the Pats fans.
You're being too nice.
Yeah, today we're going to do some dynasty sells on the podcast, and we're also going to do some evaluations of the 101 and 102 in this year's rookie draft. Each of us picked out a few players that we think are sell-high candidates as of right now. So we want to get into the sponsors real quick. We are sponsored by the Sit or Start app. It is the premium app for all your sit or start questions. If you have a tough decision this week, let's say it's week 8 of the regular season, and you want to know what to do, the Sit or Start app is there for you. You're not going to be using them for sit or start questions during the off season, but they are going to have some news and keep you abreast of all the latest and greatest when it comes to free agency and some of these rookie picks that are coming into the NFL. So you want to go and get the Sit or Start app. Highly recommend it. We are also sponsored by MyFantasyLeague.com, MFL, as most of you know it. It is hands down the best site for any league you're in. If you go to MFL and start a site.
Speaking of MyFantasyLeague, I want to bring this up real quick. You guys, this is the shutdown period. This is what we call the dark period of Dynasty football. They are shutting down until Wednesday, like around noon, mm-hmm. Hopefully earlier. Hopefully it's Wednesday. I know last year it was almost like a week. It was a long time last year.
I was going to say they went a little longer than they thought they were going to last year. And I was actually tweeting at them like at one point, like, "I miss you, MFL, come back."
Yeah, it's the dark period. So honestly, I get not many people are doing things on MFL, but when they do shut it down, do you guys kind of feel like, "Oh, I really need to go do this"?
Yeah, once it's not there, you're like, "Man, I could really be tinkering right now." But
yeah.
Yeah. When it's gone, you're just like, "Well, what am I doing? Like, what I should be doing this. I should have done this a week ago. Yeah,
what is life?
But yeah, that is definitely going to be hard to deal with this week.
All right. So that'll wrap up our sponsors for now. So let's get into some Dynasty Cells. Chris, this is your baby. So why don't you get into it, man?
All right. So what we're going to do here is each one of us is going to pick four, and hopefully we don't have the same four. We're trying to mix it up a little bit here. I think I went a little bit contrarian with three of mine, but I guess we're going to find out. And so these are players that, for whatever reason, we think are overvalued, or we think that their situation can only go down from here one way or another. So we each picked four. We don't know who each other happens to have. So what we're going to do is we're trying to talk about the player, why we think they're a sell, and what you could get for them, hopefully, as an ideal situation and maybe a more pragmatic situation. So, Tyler, you can go first. Who is your first one?
I'm going to start off with somebody I'm going to hear from, John Paul Hurley, if he listens, which I don't doubt he does. T.Y. Hilton is one of my sell highs. He had a career year in yardage. He had 1,448 yards, which was first in the league. And as great as that was, you know, I'm still a believer in Moncrief. It's tough for me to let him go. But, you know, T.Y. Hilton, hands off to him. Most catches of career, he had 91, which was tied for 10th in the league this year. He will be 28 midway through 2017. That is usually the peak of a wide receiver's career. 28, 29 is usually their tip top. And for a guy like T.Y. Hilton, his speed is the game. He is a speed guy. He's gotten a little better at route running, but I mean, speed is it. And these speedy guys kind of drift away quicker than, you know, the Brandon Marshalls of the NFL. 2016 should be his, you know, career year. It should be his outlier. And if the Colts get a guy like Dalvin Cook or Alvin Kamara, they will actually run the ball more, because the Colts, they pass the ball 60.58% of the time, which was 14th in the league. And I could see that changing with new management and a new running back in the system.
Tim, let me cut you off, because since you brought up T.Y. Hilton, I actually thought about him. But who I went up this is first?
I'm Tyler. He's Tim.
No, I know.
I was getting ready to talk and he saw it coming.
Exactly. So, Tyler, because you went with T.Y. Hilton, I actually thought about it. But no, I am actually going, in fact, with your boy, Dante Moncrief, as my first dynasty sell. Yeah. Why?
And that will be it for today.
Hold on. Let me make my case here. His ADP, according to DLF, is 25 overall. Not 25th wide receiver. 25. That's a 3.01. That is ahead of the following players: Corey Coleman, Jarvis Landry, Devontae Adams, Devontae Parker. That is ridiculous. He has still not done anything. I'm sorry. He has all the potential in the world, but the injuries persist. He's had minimal production. He had like 30 receptions for 300 yards, and it's not a good enough offense. I know we all love Andrew Luck, and he puts up numbers, but he doesn't spread it around enough. One, the offensive line's not good enough. Two, and they have no real running game to speak of. So I just don't see the upside in Dante Moncrief. We're paying a price as if he's done something, and he hasn't even had like a 700-yard, like 10-touchdown. Like, he hasn't had like that big flash of something that we go, wow, okay, it's a lot of potential, and it's like a 2 or 3 game sample size that we ever get, and that's kind of about it. And for 25 overall, I'm just not willing to pay that price. If you can trade for him and get, you know, and pay a cheap price, I'm all for it. I'd be more than willing to pay a late first. In a non-analyst league, you will be able to.
That's true.
Most people do not play in analyst leagues. So for Dante Moncrief, I just think that if you're a startup, I absolutely cannot justify 301. That's just too high for me. But in a trade, sure.
He's like X-Files. You know, the truth is out there.
Believe.
And people are waiting.
It's a long time to wait, man. I mean, I haven't seen enough of it in a streak that makes me go, oh my God, he's on the cusp. Devontae Parker, we've seen it, I feel like. Corey Coleman, I think we've seen little bursts.
I'd rather have Coleman.
Yeah. Would you rather have Devontae Adams?
No.
Would you rather have Jarvis Landry?
Yeah.
You'd rather have Devontae Parker, I assume.
That's about even.
Okay. Tim, out of these four that we've now mentioned, do you prefer Dante Moncrief over all of them? If not, which ones do you prefer? So Parker, Coleman, Landry, Adams. Who would you prefer Moncrief over?
The only one I prefer Moncrief over is Landry, personally.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, Landry's pretty close to me, too. I've been thinking about that.
Yeah.
And, you know,
3 years of
Landry.
Solid floor versus two games of some touchdowns. So, I mean,
team buildup.
Yeah. I mean, it really just depends on what you're doing right now. If you're doing a startup, I would stay away. If you're trying to trade, it's possible to get them, I think, in some leagues for a good price. But I will not pay the analyst price for the pie in the sky right now. It's just too much. So, Tim, you're up with your first one.
All right. My first one, I'm going to get this out of the way, too. It seems like we're going to pile on Tyler here. Matt Ryan had a career year this past year, and things are changing in Atlanta. He's going to have a gentleman who's never called a play in the NFL now calling his plays.
He's called for a drink order. Is that too soon?
He, Matt Ryan, put up a stat line of 4,944 yards. He had 38 touchdowns, only 7 interceptions this past year. A fantastic year, an MVP year. Really, can it get better for Matt Ryan? You're the MVP of the league. If you play the odds, it's got to go down. I want to say he's 31 years old. Is that correct, Tyler?
Yep.
Okay, so he'll probably be 32 at some point during the next season.
I think that's what comes next.
Yeah, I'm not great with math, but I was using my fingers, and I think I figured it out at 32. So with the new play caller in town, I have questions of what kind of system they're going to run, if they're going to stick with something similar. You know, there's always going to be that he's got to learn the playbook type thing. He's currently going off in the 8th round in DLF ADP, which in a start one, I probably just start looking at maybe taking a quarterback in the 8th round. So I probably might end up with a Matt Ryan on a team, but it's a sell high. Matt Ryan, in my opinion, has reached his optimal potential. I highly doubt you're going to see another season like this from him. So you're never going to get a better selling point than right now for Matt Ryan.
I don't disagree. All right, Tyler, you're up.
All right, my next one will be Julian Edelman.
No! No, I thought no one was going to pick that one. I thought I had that one in the bag. Oh, nope. Damn you. All right, go for it.
All right, Julian Edelman, it's pretty easy for me. He won the Super Bowl, and people are recency bias, and they will see that's the last thing that happened. He had that amazing catch, and they're going to be like, oh, my God, this guy is the best. Well, he was fourth in the league with 98 receptions. But the thing is, he's 31 years old at the start of 2017. 31. If you guys can remember, when did Wes Welker kind of drop off completely? Was it 33?
I think it was 31 or 32.
I want to say it was concussion number 4 or 5.
Oh, we're concussion age. It's like dog years.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. And he was actually tied for 16th in the league with drops. And he had 5 of them, which doesn't seem like much. But in the Super Bowl, he had a lot of drops. And I don't know if it's because his pinky's still oddly shaped from when he dislocated that one time. I mean, it was ugly. But another big factor for me is Malcolm Mitchell is showing explosion. And he's showing that Tom Brady has trust in him. And as much as like Edelman's quickness, that is slowly deteriorating, and Malcolm Mitchell is showing that explosiveness that Tom Brady's like, okay, he's a young guy. He can make a play after the catch. But another, probably the biggest factor for me is Gronk coming back. Gronk, I mean, he had a lot of targets, Julian Edelman did, but that was with Gronk out. Gronk takes a lot of that stuff in the middle, and that is definitely going to hurt Edelman. So I see a definite drop, and if you can sell for a good price, do it.
All right, Tim. Let me give my spiel here on Julian Edelman. He had, I think it's actually his worst season in terms of efficiency. So just some numbers from Player Profiler: 50th in catch rate, 64th in contested catch rate, 81st in fantasy points per target, 105th in target premium, 92nd in production premium. And as Tyler mentioned, people are swooning over recency bias over the Super Bowl catch. And I think this could be your last chance to cash out because people were really souring on him in the middle of the season. And now his value is starting to stabilize and he's kind of sitting there at 69 overall. And I just think that you can still get value for him that's worth your while. And this really might be your last chance. And I would take it, just absolutely take it and run. Because, yes, as you mentioned, Gronk getting healthy, they're probably going to have a new running back be the lead back there. Probably could be more talented than LeGarrette Blount. Not that hard to be. Malcolm Mitchell, although I'm not a big fan, I do think that he showed enough that he's going to be better utilized than Julian Edelman is. And I just don't see the upside from here. I see a depreciating asset that's only going to depreciate more. So I just don't really want to stay invested in him. So I'm with you completely, Tyler. You and I are in complete agreement. So Tim,
all right,
you are up.
Well, real quick,
Don't Moncrief.
I wanted to pile on there to Edelman is we already saw a guy whose value started to dip and everybody that owned him got pretty lucky and you had a little value bump. So if you had any questions about moving him before, definitely it's time to move him now. We're going to go into my guy.
Didn't I literally just say that?
Yeah. I was just reiterating it. I was backing you up here, Chris. Come on, why you got to get all...
He just wanted to do it in a different voice.
Yeah. All right. I was going to say the wording was almost verbatim.
Yeah.
All right. Go on.
All right, my guy, and hopefully I'm not Moncriefing Chris here. I'm going to go with Ty Montgomery.
You knew I was going to go for him, so I didn't go for him intentionally. Ooh, good job.
RB that, number 20. That's like half of Chris's thought during these is like, I'm going to go him. Wait, hold on.
Everybody else is going to go him, so I won't go him.
Exactly.
Chris actually brought up LeGarrette Blount, and that was one of the guys. I was like, nah, that's too on the nose. But Ty Montgomery, RB22 in some January ADP here. If we look at him from a running back perspective, 77 carries, 457 yards, 3 touchdowns on the ground, pretty decent yard per carry average at 5.9. But then his value, and this is the role I think he's going to play going forward, was through the passing game as a passing option out of the backfield, 44 catches for 348 yards. I highly suspect that the Green Bay Packers will either A, bring in a running back via free agency, or the more likely case, I think they're going to draft a running back to be the first and second down guy, and Ty Montgomery will at least open the season with that third down role. And if they get a guy like a Kenneth Dixon, who maybe takes a little while to get going, but can eventually start to show his value in the passing game, something like that, the Ty Montgomery's value is going to continue to dip. So Ty Montgomery, as of right now, people are still going to look at that Green Bay backfield and think, well, he's the only show in town, really. More than likely, Eddie Lacy's gone. They just released, what's his name? Starks, yep. James Starks. So he's gone for sure, unless they bring him back on a really cheap contract.
Possible.
So I think Ty Montgomery is going to hold some value at least until the rookie draft. I highly suspect the Packers are going to get somebody. I don't see how they don't. Guys like a Doug Martin, maybe Latavius Murray, might interest the Packers as their first and second down guy. Now, I'm not necessarily high on either one of those two, but I think they're going to give them a certain role, which is going to take away from Ty Montgomery's usage on the field. So I think now is a sell high point for Ty Montgomery.
Yep, Tyler. Right.
It's back to me, and I'm going to go LeSean McCoy.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
I have said this probably 4 years in a row, maybe. And I just feel like he's my pick every year. And right now, I think you should get a lot for him. He had a great year with 234 carries, 1,267 yards, and 13 touchdowns for rush, and 51 catches, 356, and 1 for receiving. That's a great year. And the thing that's going to hurt him is he will be 29 by the start of the season, and he will be closing in on that big threshold, 2,000 carries. He is at 1,898 carries. He is about 100 carries away from hitting that, and yikes, that scares me, especially with a man his size. I know Marshawn was getting close to that, and I wasn't as worried with him because he had that body type where he could go through the 2,000 mark, but obviously, you know, he retired early. I think McCoy could be the next. Despite a 5.4 yard per carry, I think Tyrod being gone and that zone read scheme that he did and helped him, I think with Tyrod gone, it's going to really hurt McCoy because I thought the zone read helped him out this year big time.
All right, Tyler, you ready for me to pile on to your misery?
Bring it on. I'm ready.
Tevin Coleman. ADP 62nd overall.
Hate.
Listen, both of us, actually, I think all three of us, we preached buying him low if possible a year ago, but his value simply has gone up too much, and people expect similar, if not better, stats in 2017. And I think we ignore how his stats were created. First of all, he averaged well over 10 yards per reception. That's not very common for a running back. That's very difficult to do. He had 11 touchdowns. I mean, his yards per touch were obviously obscenely high for this reason. And I just think that you have a multitude of factors going in right now. Freeman is likely to get a monster deal for a running back. They're already negotiating it. It's very likely. Teams that lose the Super Bowl typically underperform the next year. We've had this now for numerous years in a row, except for the Patriots, and because they're bastards. Then you have Kyle Shanahan's gone, and injuries still plague this guy all the time. And so I just think that we are paying for a ceiling that, while good, it's not great. We're paying for a backup. We're paying a starting running back price for a backup running back, and I just don't like those kind of situations. And the beginning of the sixth round is just not enticing for me. This is way too early. And, you know, last year you were able to get him, I think, in like the ninth round, usually, maybe even 10th round. That was nice. Sixth round is not so nice. I prefer other players in his general realm. I can pull it up here real quick. I mean, it's just Tevin Coleman has all the talent in the world, but he just cannot stay healthy long enough to ever, in my opinion, overtake Devontae Freeman, which is something that we preached a lot about. I mean, he's going in the same realm as Carlos Hyde. He's going in the same realm as Eifert, Procise, Jeremy Hill, more than okay with in that regard. Thomas Rawls, I mean, I guess it's not that bad. It's not that bad. For running backs, for wide receivers, I still prefer the ones in that general realm. But yeah, I mean, I just think that he's a player that you're paying just too much for. And if you can get him for cheaper in a trade or something, that's great. But in startups, a little bit too pricey for my taste. Tim?
Yeah, I like Coleman, but yeah, his value stayed at a certain point where I'm just not comfortable with it. Tyreek Hill is my next guy.
Oh, you bastard.
I was surprised. I thought for sure this is the one you guys were going to snipe me on. He is wide receiver 38. Last year's receiver, 61 catches, 593 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Not bad production from a rookie wide receiver. Macklin was injured again. Jamal Charles got hurt. Spencer Ware ran hot at times, but not so much at other times. He's 5'10", 185 pounds. So not the type of frame that normally lasts in this league.
He's pretty built, though. Like, he's thick for...
Yeah, he's stocky for 6'10", that's for sure. He probably does have a pretty decent BMI, but his game speed. I'm not wishing this upon it, but if he would happen to have a nasty knee injury, that's probably going to slow him down. And if you take that one tool away, I don't know if he's got the other tools to necessarily survive in this league. I think teams were kind of caught off guard by him at points this season. Teams will scheme against him this next year. And let's not forget, he dropped to the fifth round this past year in the NFL draft because of some off-the-field concerns.
Yeah, a lot of scouts say he's, quote-unquote,
more of an issue than Joe Mixon?
Yes, a D-bag.
Yeah, I've seen that myself. But that's just something you got to keep in the back of your mind. Tyreek goes and does something stupid, he is of zero value to you because you can't use him if he's suspended. So you just got to kind of, I don't know, somehow put that into his valuation process. And personally, I think he's more of a one-trick type guy that's not going to be as consistent as he honestly was this year. I don't see that going forward for him. There's a concern for off the field. He's not the biggest of guys, so there is an injury concern for me. So personally, unless I'm in like a returns league where I'm getting – points off yardage for returns or touchdowns like that, I don't think Tyreek Hill is worth having him on my roster. I think I can get more value for him by trading him away.
Yeah, and I honestly like what you said about his knee injury. I got into a little talk with somebody going from here to IDP, talking about Jalen Smith and how he's coming back off that terrible knee injury. And I said he's a player that even if he loses, say at worst case, 25% of his athletic ability, he could still be a top 10 linebacker. But like Tyreek Hill's case, if he loses any explosion, I mean, what is he?
Mm-hmm.
He's a replacement level. So So yeah, I mean that's huge with Tyreek, and
it's a bit of a one trick pony. And if you take the trick away, I don't see him beating people with his routes all the time.
No, it scares me a lot.
Yep.
All right, next to my last guy, I'm going Davante Adams.
Really?
Davante Adams, he had a bounce back season fantasy wise and NFL wise. 75 catches, 997 yards, and 12 touchdowns. And according to Matt Harmon, who everybody knows on Twitter, Adams should be reasonably better on his reception perception. He's looked at his routes this year and said he's gotten a lot better. And my quote to him is, I asked him, I thought he was bad. You know, him and Devontae Parker were the lowest scoring on reception perception. He said, well, players get better. He obviously got better. So, and what I don't like about him is that, like Tim said about T.Y. Montgomery, is they should address the running back need. And honestly, they need to become more balanced. And when they become more balanced, it will take away Adams' red zone targets. And it should take down those touchdowns, because what Adams is James Jones. He's a touchdown dependent receiver. And the funny thing about James Jones is he was a player that was pretty essentially cheap, and he went for nothing. And Adams honestly right now could get you a mid to late first or a couple second rounders. And I would take that every day for a player like James Jones, where it's touchdowns is what you need.
Fair enough. I get it. I just think that Davante Adams he goes either too early or too late. I feel like that's kind of the thing. And if it's too early, then yeah, I'm absolutely with you. But I do think that he's still a little bit undervalued in many circles because of that real hate of last year. So if you're in that kind of league, I'm for buying. But if you're paying the what he did in this past year price, then yeah, I'm with you 100%. I'm not really sure if he can sustain this for another year, but it's definitely possible. But Tim, since you took mine, I'm going to go with a different one. I'm going with Golden Tate, who currently on DLF is the 51st overall. And it's nothing against Golden Tate. I just think that I have a very strong feeling that Detroit is going to address the wide receiver issue on that team, because Marvin Jones is not playing the role in which they needed him for. And I just can see them making him just the second outside wide receiver and putting Golden Tate in the slot, which would be good for his floor, but not so good for his ceiling. I'd be very surprised to see him get 1,000 yards again in 2017. I know we all liked the offensive coordinator and the progression that they made in the offense and diversifying it, but I just think that kind of we're paying, again, a ceiling price for Golden Tate, where I'm not really sure he can fulfill on. I mean, he's already over 28. If I'm not mistaken, he turns 29 by the beginning of the season. And I'm just not really sure how many more years of relevance he has in the league. So I'm kind of in favor of selling Golden Tate. But yeah, that's kind of just overpriced at this point. That's my thing with him. All right, Tim, what's your last one?
I like that. And I also agree that Detroit probably looks at a wide receiver. My next guy, same division, Adam Thielen.
Oh, absolutely.
This is my deep dive-ish type thing. He is currently 117 overall in January ADP. He's the 61st wide receiver off the board in these drafts. Seen him go as high as 95 overall. I'm not taking a guy like Adam Thielen in the top 100 of a startup draft. I'm sorry. He sold 92 targets this past year. He caught 69 of them. He had just under 1,000 yards, 967 to be exact. He had 5 touchdowns. Here's my problem with Adam Thielen. Laquon Treadwell's coming.
Slowly, but he's coming.
I
had to do that capital for Jason.
Yeah, I don't have enough eye rolling to respond to that.
I still love Treadwell. Don't worry.
They spent the draft capital on him. They are going to get him on the field. They've got to at least start to see what this kid's got, if anything, which sadly it's going to take away a little bit from everybody. But with Treadwell coming, we also have guys like Diggs, who I am beyond super high on. I love Stephon Diggs. You hear me, Diggs? I love you.
I considered Diggs for this, to be honest. Oh,
get out of here. His value is going to continue to rise. I'm telling you. I love
27 overall. Get out of here.
Oh, no. No. It's where he's going. I've been sniped twice already in startup drafts this year, because maybe I'm not quite there yet, but that's where he's going. If you want him, you got to take him there. I'm telling you. I've missed out on him twice now. And then Kyle Rudolph. As long as Sam Bradford's taking the snaps from center, he's shown he likes to throw to Kyle Rudolph. I think Kyle Rudolph's going to continue to grow a rapport with Sam Bradford this year. I don't see a guy like Adam Thielen doing it again. I can't write the story in my mind where that continues to happen. So in my mind's eye, I think this is kind of like that blip on the radar. It happened great for Adam Thielen. I don't see it happening again. You got to sell while it's hot, man. Move on, Adam Thielen.
I agree completely.
How dare you?
I really thought about him, but I had a feeling one of you was going to do him. I actually thought Tyler was going to pick him. But
no, right. I like Thielen. I know you like him that much. The what? All right. The White Wizard? Come on.
All right. So,
that nickname up there?
Is that his real nickname?
I just came up with it.
Okay. I was going to say, I've never heard that one. All right.
All right. Our next segment up is valuing the 1.01 and 1.02 in rookie drafts. Now, I don't know about you two, but I've gotten this question at least twice a day for the past 10 plus days where, hey, Chris, trying to figure out how to value 1.01 here, trying to figure out how to value 1.02 here. You know, what should I be looking for? I need to sell this. I'm looking to cash out. Now, what we're going to do is that each of you are going to have 30 seconds explanation of what you're doing if you have the 1.01 and 1.02 and how you see its value as a concept. Don't give player values. That's what I'm here for. I'm going to be doing some, you know, random selection of players and whether or not they're worth the 1.01 or 1.02 or neither. Very simple. So I'm actually going to go first in this one. I actually don't see a big value difference, honestly, between 1.01 and 1.02. I think that if you have 1.01 and you want to move to 1.02, you should. I actually think you should seriously consider this. If you have 1.02, if I had 1.01, I'd be just in general looking to trade it. Just being honest, I think that until the combine, this is a peak value. After the combine, most likely the value is going to go up again. So if you want to cash out then, that's fine as well. But I'm just saying that 1.01 and 1.02 don't have a big inherent difference in their values to me. I like Cook better, but if I got Fournette, I'm not going to be angry at all. And that difference between 1.01, I would not pay to go from 2-1 to have my choice. Although I like Cook better, I would not do that. I wouldn't give a second round pick to move up one spot. Not for me. So, all right, Tyler, how do you see these two picks as a concept, and what would you be doing if you had them?
I actually have to highly disagree with your 1.01 take, and I think the value can only go up.
Oh no, I think it will go up. That's not no. I just think that between said, now well, and the combine,
you, I was confused because you said the peak value is now.
Between that's now and the combine, and then the draft. I think between now and the draft it'll go up, but not for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I'm saying if you want to cash out now,
I think now is the wrong time. That's sure. Me personally. I think it'd be dumb to cash out now because, I mean, look at Elliott last year. If you traded 1.01 last year and before Elliott was even on the Cowboys, you just lost a ton of value. You threw it out the window. Honestly, I think the difference between 1.01 and 1.02 is huge to me.
Interesting.
I think Cook is far superior than Fournette, and he is pulling away way farther away from Fournette. I like Fournette. But Cook is everything I look for in a running back. And Fournette has a lot of question marks to me. And yeah, I mean, I have 1.01 in a league. I traded for it. I traded 1.06 and 1.08 2 months ago. I traded early.
That is cheap.
Yeah.
That's very good.
No, it was 1.04, 1.06, which was still pretty cheap.
That's still cheap.
Yeah. And I'm holding. I'm taking Cook. I think he is going to be a little less than what Elliott is now, but I think he will be close. I think he lands in a good spot from what I'm seeing in mocks. It's either Indy, which I still like. No. It's either Philadelphia, which I love because I think their offensive line is very good. I think Philadelphia's offensive line is great. And if he lands in Philly, that will be a Dallas-like explosion for me.
I disagree. Tyler, real quick, just as an idea, if Dalvin Cook went to the Browns and Leonard Fournette went to the Raiders, would it be such a big difference to you between 1.01 and 1.02?
It would be a lot closer, but I would still need to get Fournette's medical report. Let's say he's fine.
Let's assume that just for a scenario, Fournette is fine. It's better than Ajayi. He's not going to play 12 years, but nobody does anyways at running back. So let's just say he has a 10-year window basically 10-year window. He's fine. He can play. It's not going to be an issue for his career. Let's just say that. Would it be a big gap for you between 101 and 102 at that point?
It'd be a lot closer. Yes.
Okay.
It would probably, if he, say Cook went to the Browns, which is obviously a downtick. And if Fournette went to the Raiders, which is probably one of the best spots in the draft, Fournette would possibly be my 101.
Okay.
But the Raiders pick late, and that's a scenario where Raiders would need to trade up and all that. A lot would need to happen for that to happen. So it's definitely a dream scenario. I just like Cook's receiving ability, and in PPR.
Me too.
God, his floor is going to be so safe. You can lock him in, fall asleep, and know you're getting easily 10 to 15 a week, no problem at running back, which is great to have.
All right, Tim, you're up.
Personally, I think I'm pretty smack dab right between you guys, but I'm leaning in this scenario a little closer to Chris's evaluation, where this isn't like a locked and loaded for sure 101. I think that Dalvin Cook is the 101, but there are plenty of people out there that highly think that Leonard Fournette should be the 101. We're sitting a bigger split than most years. Most years that is, there is a defined 101 rookie pick. So I think if you're in the, if you're the holder of 101 and you're in the business of moving out of it, like the scenario Chris brought up, moving from 101 to 102, if you're not, if you're not sold on Dalvin Cook or Leonard Fournette, whatever your cup of tea is, by all means, move out of it. Get to the 102. You might get an early second. You might get another late first. I think there's value in moving back, especially if you're not sold on either one of the guys. Personally, I would probably take the pick and take the player, but that's for me.
May I make an analogy real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
I feel like what we're going through right now with these two is kind of what happened with the Melvin Gordon, Todd Gurley debate that happened 2 years ago. 2 years ago, for people who are new to Dynasty or don't really remember this and you need some nostalgia, it was very close around this time of year, January, February. Todd Gurley was coming off an injury. He didn't have that. He didn't have a good last year. I mean, it was good for like the few games he played, but he also had an injury for that. And basically, the difference was that once the draft happened, people were like, well, they were drafted within five spots of each other. They're both very talented. One is, a much longer track record, which would be the Fournette in this situation. But one was much more productive for, a number of years in the college system and was only drafted a few. And Melvin Gordon went to a supposed better situation than Todd Gurley did. And Todd Gurley demolished him in year one. And Melvin Gordon demolished him, Gurley, in year two. I think we might have a similar situation here with Fournette and Cook. I feel like one will go to a better offense, and one will go to, the exclusive, not having any competition kind of thing, and just be the volume play. And I think we might end up having the same situation where ultimately both of them are going to be relatively similar at the end, but it's going to be a weird road to get there. And I just think that is one of the reasons why I don't value the difference between them being very high right now. Depending on what team they go on, if they both go to good or bad situations or vice versa, whatever, I think that could influence it. But right now, just to me, I can't see a big difference. But anyways, let's get to the point here of valuing that 101 and 102. So what I'm going to do, gentlemen, is I'm going to name a player and name one of you, and you're going to say, I might also do player and a pick, whatever else. I'm going to mix it up here. I actually don't have any written down because I want to do this very organically because I wanted some reactions here. You're going to say whether they're worth the 101 or 102 or less or more. Just give a little spiel there. So let's start this off with a bang. Let's go with Le'Veon Bell. So Tim, Le'Veon Bell, what is the evaluation here?
Personally, I don't think I would move either one of the picks for just Le'Veon Bell straight up. I know there's people that are going to think I'm nuts, but
so you want more? You want Bell plus?
Yeah, Bell in like a mid to late second.
Okay.
I'm with you.
Bell, the injuries.
All right, interesting. I like that.
Concerns me. It just concerns. I have my issues with Bell. I'm sorry.
Yep. No, same here. I can't stand having Le'Veon Bell on the team. He's my Odell Beckham of running back now. After seeing that picture with him and Snoop Dogg,
you consider
he's got a way out.
An injury-prone pothead is the same as a dude who hugs a kicking net. Are you that dense with this?
I don't like personality people.
I don't see one of them gets you suspended in a league. One of them doesn't. Anyways, all right. So you both agree on this. You want Le'Veon Bell?
I want a little sweetener on it. Yeah.
All right. What about 102? 102 or Le'Veon Bell?
Like I said, I don't think I move either one of the picks.
Okay, so Tyler.
Honestly, that right there, that's very close to me. It's about even. And I'd rather have 102 at the moment.
Over Bell. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Tim, this one's for you, buddy. DeAndre Hopkins.
Oof. I just sold DeAndre Hopkins for multiple picks. I want to say the Hopkins situation is going to get better, but at least two more years now. I think I would take both of the picks over Hopkins currently.
If baby, we had, come back.
Yeah.
Baby, come back to me.
not bad, Tyler. I just, oh man, I believe in the Hopkins talent so much, but he's going to have Brock there next year. He's too big of a cap hit for them to move him.
Come on.
So we're looking at 2 years down the line before anything happens with Hopkins. I'm taking the picks here.
Both of them. You prefer 101 and 102. Okay, so you need Hopkins plus.
101 for sure. 102 is really close, but we don't know. There's still a chance that Cook could be my 102. He could fall to 102. So
you guys are making me feel so good for getting the 101 in the UDP league at, 207 or whatever, 208. You took DeAndre Hopkins at 107 or something like that, or 106 in a Superflex league.
That's ballsy, Tim. If I did that to Allen Robinson, I don't think I could forgive myself. I honestly don't think I'd be able to.
Part of my next man for you, Allen Robinson.
I'm taking him over both.
Interesting. I like the sticking with it. Yep. Okay, then you made it quick. That's Brandon Cooks, Brandon Cooks in 2.01 or 1.01 or 1.02.
This is back to me now.
No, this is back to Tyler.
Okay,
because he did Allen Robinson so quick.
I would do 101. I'd keep 101 for sure.
Okay.
And 102, what type is it? A 12 teamer?
Yeah, let's just say 12 team.
Yeah, 12 team. Okay. I honestly think I would go with the Brandon Cook side.
Okay.
That is because my honorable mention for the sell highs, Michael Thomas was.
I'm going to get there. Give it some time. Let's let it simmer.
I'm just mentioning it.
All right. So, yeah. Tyler, if you own Brandon Cook, so what would be the bare minimum draft pick that you would sell him for? Bare minimum.
Bare minimum just for him?
Yeah, just for him.
I honestly would rather have Davis and Mike Williams.
Really? So 105?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I think those two have a higher ceiling in my eyes. They are the potential number one guy. They have the size. And I think Cooks, he's interesting to me. I still like him as a player. You know, the Biletnikoff winner, he did it in college. Yeah, he's one of those players that's the fringe true number one receivers. He's right in the middle. And yeah, I'm still lost on him. Yeah.
All right, Tim, you're up. Michael Thomas and 1.09.
Oh, 109. I'm trying to put a name to it. It makes it easier when you put a name to it. So I'll definitely keep the 101. I'm not going to take Michael Thomas in the 109. The 10. Yeah, I would sell for the 102.
Okay.
Michael Thomas, just off the top of my head, I believe statistically he was the wide receiver one on the team this year for the Saints. And then the 109, I don't love any of the running back / wide receiver players there, but you're starting to look. I was getting ready to say, you are just getting into the area where you're probably going to see the first tight end come off in this class.
I think P. Ryan will be there, unless he blows up the combine. I think he'll be there at 8 or 9.
P. Ryan could definitely be there. So if you go Michael Thomas and P. Ryan, I think that's worth the 102. If you go Michael Thomas and one of these tight ends, yeah, I think I like that better than the 102 as well. I think Dalvin Cook could really be an issue for this league. I think Dalvin Cook could be a monster.
Chris, I would like to say, I think P. Ryan, you're going to get lucky with this year. We all are who like him. He's going to have a CJ Pro size type under the radar combine. Not because people are going to be focused on Leonard Fournette and all that. People forget Pro size had a 4.4. You forget that.
Yeah. No, I don't forget that because...
I think you beat it into everybody's brain.
Yes. But no, I'm comparing it to draft. He was an early second type guy, you know, somebody you could wait on a little bit. And I think Piran will be that guy. I think people will be so focused on these two running backs, Fournette and Cook, that they will, you know, I think Kamara is another name people are very carefully watching. But I think Piran's going to kind of go under the radar a little bit.
All right. Let's get back to this here. Tyler, what would need to be added to Dez Bryant to get to 1.01? Don't say 1.02.
Honestly, I would probably say 103 to 107.
Wow. All right. So would you prefer Dez Bryant in 107 over 101?
No.
Okay. Dez Bryant in 106 for 101?
No.
Dez Bryant in 105 for 101?
No.
God, you're out of your goddamn mind. All right. And I'm not even a Dez. Me neither. But you're pushing me to want Dez here. All right.
You can have him.
Tim.
Well, I'm wearing Eagles gear. I got an Eagles flag in the background. And he said he would take the 101 over Dez in the 105. And I'm just
Wow. You're out of your
mind. I Dez can
too far.
Dez can go tomorrow. I do not want I just stinks for me. You gotta take the stud receiver in the 105 though.
Wow. You mean a stud receiver that'll be 29 years old?
Yeah, he's gonna put up production though, man.
His value will go up. All right. Tim, over to you now. AJ Green and a mid second, let's say 2.06. What do you want?
I'll do AJ in the second for the 102. As long as AJ Green doesn't have another, you know, hamstring issue. Man, that guy's so damn good. He is so good. The second, you're talking about a pick that could easily bust, but I'll take the AJ Green side over the 102. And it at least makes me think a little bit about the 101, but I'm sticking with the pick there.
All right. Hey, Tim, you ready to make I'm going to make you cry by doing this next one with Tyler. Ready?
Okay.
Hey, Tyler. 1.05 and CJ ProSize. Or the 101.
I'd take 101.
Oh, all right. Hey. Okay, let's give you another one here.
102.
Yeah, 102. CJ ProSize in 105 or 102?
I would still probably go 102.
Good man. Smart man. All right. So, Tyler, still with you. Melvin Gordon and 2.02 or 101 or 102?
Both of them?
You prefer 101 and 102 over Melvin Gordon and 201?
Oh, I thought you were saying 101 and 102.
No. I'm saying, would it be either one of, like, would you? Okay, let's do it another way. Melvin Gordon in 201 or the 101?
I'd have 101.
Melvin Gordon in a 201 or 102?
I'd have Melvin Gordon.
Okay.
Fair enough. Chris, the way you said that, I also thought.
Yeah, it was a little awkward. Yeah.
102, and I'm like, ooh.
All right, Tim, back to you here. Stephon Diggs and 107 or 101.
Oh, this one's killing. Oh, man.
Hey, I threw ProSize under the bus. It's about your turn.
I'll take the 101 here, but yeah, I'm taking Diggs in the 7 for the 102.
All right. But not one for okay, got it. All right. Tyler, Julio or 101?
As much as I want to say the 101, I'm going to go Julio.
I'm with you.
All right. Good man. You're finally
he's elite. He's a guy that's a top 5 guy and he will be for 3 years.
All right. Now, Tim, this is an interesting one. I'm going to make it a little bit different. 101 and 102 or Ezekiel Elliott?
I think you can sell Zeke for more than that.
You think so?
That's not the point.
I think you can.
I don't think you can.
So for
I don't think you can. Fournette and Cook or Zeke?
Yeah.
Really? You have to think about this one? This is easy to me.
Yeah, this is easy to me too.
Okay, how often do picks bust though?
50%.
We know what Zeke is,
the 101 does not bust very often. Gerald, if you're listening to the show, do a study. 101 and 102 is consensus for the past 5 years. Ten years. What the bust rate is?
Chris, I want to know what side you're thinking.
I would say Sammy Watkins is probably the biggest.
I think you and I agree, Tim.
Bust in the past, 5 to 10 years as a 101.
He was a bust.
I did my little air quotes here, so
gotcha.
I guess nobody can say. So, like, when Watkins is healthy, he's definitely not a bust. But what you were hoping to get out of Watkins to this point, he's kind of busty.
He's retained his value pretty damn well.
Yeah,
and he was drafted around the 1.01 for this year in the UDP draft.
Heard somebody say busty.
But it's when it's
not just context, you mean?
It's the issue of the injury for him. I'm not debating whether or not Sammy Watkins can play the game of football, because when he's on the field, he's electric. He's great. That's why he maintains his value. It's the issue that he doesn't stay on the field, so he can't maintain that value of you know, production. So yeah, there's a high chance that 101 doesn't bust.
Take a stand.
I think there's a strong possibility that Ezekiel Elliott's better than both of these players.
Tyler?
I'm with Tim. I'm going to go Zeke.
Really? I thought you were with me, you bastard.
You know what you're getting with Zeke. You have the best offensive line. They locked that line down. Why? Why would you give away thing? The best running back in the league. Why would you give that up?
I'm sorry.
21 years old.
Did he finish as the RB1 this past year? He's the best one in the league? That's so weird. I don't remember hearing that.
Let's take it back to your analysis here.
Yeah.
Todd Gurley, Melvin Gordon, or Ezekiel Elliott?
I would take Gurley and Gordon.
Okay.
No, I think I would. I think I'm pretty set in that. Yeah.
That's a really good one.
Yeah.
Funny thing is on my notes, I would honestly rather have Gurley than 102.
Oh, me too.
See, Chris, I was happy that it just made you think a little bit about it. And honestly, when I put the names Gordon and Gurley to it, it made me start to think a little bit more myself. Because, I mean, if Gordon and Gurley can both hit potential, I think they're going to outproduce just Ezekiel Elliott for sure. But, man, Elliott looked really good this year.
Yep.
Yeah, but I think I would prefer two top 10 backs or two top 8 backs than one top five, supposedly. Exactly. Oh yeah, okay. They've both had their down year. Are you saying that Ezekiel Elliott is never gonna have a down year? Are we just gonna assume that, you know, Dak Prescott is gonna be as good in year two when defenses can actually prepare for him? Are we really assuming this?
I'm assuming he has the best offensive line. And we also have good backups in that offensive line. I mean, the Collins was backup. He got hurt. He was hurt, and then they brought in their former starter, and just pretty much nothing happened. Nothing was taken away.
All right, hold on. I have one for you, Tyler. Let's get beyond Elliott for a second here. Keenan Allen in 2.06 or 1.01.
You're asking the wrong person on this one. I'd go 1.01.
All right, what about 1.02?
1.02.
Tim, are you in agreement here?
Yeah, for what you said, the 206?
Yeah, 206.
Yeah, I would take
that. Okay, how high would the pick have to be with Keenan Allen to get to 1.01, Tyler?
You're talking like 103, 104.
Oh, you're out of your mind. All right.
I was going to say the 201.
Yeah,
okay, I'm not an Allen guy.
Yeah, I know, but I had to ask. All right, so then let's go with a guy you do like and one that you had to apologize for being such a D-bag to him. That was bag with B-A-G-H. It's this old Irish. Anyways, Devontae Freeman and 1.06 or 1.01.
Give me Freeman.
Really? All right.
Yeah.
What about Freeman and 2.01 for 101? Which one do you prefer?
Freeman.
Really? Freeman and 2.01? Is Freeman in your top four running backs?
He is right behind Gurley, and I'm debating on moving him ahead of Gurley.
Okay, so you have him at 5. Okay, that's fair enough.
Yep.
All right. Let's do one last one here for Tim. Antonio Brown or 1.01?
Antonio Brown. I mean, he's getting up there in age a little bit, but the guy still produces. He produces at such a great level. I don't look at the Facebook Live thing as a big issue.
Me neither.
By all accounts, he seems to be a really good teammate. You know, he works his butt off. Apparently, you know, he's got Jerry Rice like work ethic. And when you're already that talented, plus you're working that hard to maintain it, yeah, I'll take AB.
I have two more here I got to do because I actually got asked one of these and the other one just made me think of it. Tyler, 1.01, 1.02, 1.03, or Amari Cooper?
Give me the picks. Oofta. Right. Thank you for the picks.
Tim, 1.01, 1.02, 1.03, or Mike Evans? I got asked the Evans one, not the Cooper one. I just saw Cooper's name when I was scrolling up, so I thought to ask that one too.
Thank you for not giving me Evans, because that.
I didn't do it intentionally because
thank you.
I figured you were gonna. I thought you were gonna overreact and say Evans, and then sit there and think about it deeply and go, damn, that's a hard one. So I want to give it to Tim.
I was with Tyler on the Cooper one, and I thought you were just volleying the same one over to me to see my thoughts on it. Mike Williams, Fournette, and Dalvin Cook for Mike. I'm going to take the rookies.
Really?
Somehow. Those picks are going to be worth so much in another month.
Okay, hold on.
I love you, Evans.
What do you think you're going to get? Well, hold on. You do know that Evans is a top two wide receiver. So when you say, the picks are going to get more value, what more are you going to get?
People go crazy.
Again, I'll repeat my question. What are you going to get in addition to that? I can't see that. I cannot conceptualize that.
It's tough, but what he's probably thinking is you're getting Dalvin Cook, who could be a top five running back. You're getting Leonard Fournette, who could be a top five running back. And then you're getting Mike Williams, who could be a top 10 wide receiver. So you're getting...
See, I feel like they're already valued position at that point. Like, I feel it's assumed that Cook and Fournette are at least top six running backs coming in. I feel it's already assumed that DLF will have it. UTH already has it. Sorry, spoiler on the subscription. Chad, my email, you know it. And I already feel like Mike Williams is at least in the top 12-ish already for people's rankings. So I just don't see it getting much higher. You're basically hoping that all three of them, boom, don't bust, which is, again, against the odds. Yeah. And you're basically assuming that they all are within top five for running backs and top 10 for wide receivers. That's bold, my friend. That is really bold.
Again, if all three of them are top like 30 to 40 players, you're talking really good production from all three versus one guy who we know can be an absolute monster.
That's a better argument. I agree. I can see that argumentation. That's
if you get three consistent, very good producers, I think that's worth one monster.
The odds are 16, against you.
16 teamer, I might look more towards the picks.
Sure.
In a 12 team, 10 team, it's Evans. So
yeah, if it's a 10 team, I'm going Evans.
Yep.
Yeah.
And think about it. And the thing is, with to back up Tim, if there was like a 107 to 201, that might push the trade more towards the pick side. Like it's close, but it needs a little bit more.
All right.
I wish I had the Cooper one. It was so much easier.
That was very easy.
All right, hold on. One last one for both of you. Don't give a long-winded analysis on this one. This is really quick. 101 and 102 and 106. So 2, 1, 2, and 6, or David Johnson. Tim.
I'll take the picks.
Tyler, 1, 2, and 6.
I like David Johnson. I'm going to take picks. He's 25. That offense is going to start declining. It's honestly not that close to me, the more I think of it.
I agree completely. I'm with you, both of you, on this one. All right. So, Tim, do your job. I've been talking a lot here.
You have been talking a lot here, Chris, but it's been a lot of fun, actually.
We're going to get bad reviews because of it. Just wait.
Well, speaking of reviews, that's one way you can help out the show. You can go over to iTunes. You can leave us a quick review. Give us an honest review. Give us the star rating you think we deserve. If it's going to be something, let's say, lower than 4, I would love to actually hear some real criticism. I wouldn't love to get some real criticism, but if you have criticism, I would love to hear it. So if you're going to give us a 4 or 5 star, rating review, I don't think there's any need to let us know. I think we all know what's good here. Other ways you could help out the show, you can go over to our website, dynastyhappyhour.com. We didn't mention this to start the show, but if you haven't listened for a few episodes, the website is live, dynastyhappyhour.com, rankings, articles. There's two podcasts over there. There's ours, and then there's Fantasy Insanity, hosted by Mr. John Bosch. So go over, check out the website. And while you're there, hit the merchandise tab, and you can buy a t-shirt straight from our website. If you don't have any spare cash, ratings, reviews on iTunes, of course. Chris, Tyler, let's tell the people where they can find us. Chris, go ahead and go first.
So you can find me at ChrisWhitman11. And you can find my work on the DynastyHappyHour.com page. I got some rookie scouting reports on the worst running back in the class, Wayne Gallman. Guys, one on Smaj P. Ryan, Alvin Kamara. Yeah.
Tyler, what about you, man?
Yeah, I'm at DHH Gunth, and same thing. Got a couple of articles up there. And speaking of the website, we have some big news coming up. I don't want to announce it yet, but we are partnering with somebody that will be huge. And also, we have some... Yeah. No. He's with the Ballers.
Yeah.
But we have some new people coming on And if you want to write for us, all you have to do is send an article, a sample article, which could actually be published onto the website at dynastyhappyhour@gmail.com. Send an article there. It could be anything. Just think of anything. A rookie mock, a way too early rookie mock of your own. It could be a rookie you're high on. Anything. Just think of something, you know, just get your mind going.
We can give ideas. We can give ideas if people want ideas, but try to think of something first.
Yep.
That's all.
And yeah, you can come on to the team, join us. I mean, we're harmless. We're very easy to work with. And yeah, I mean, like I said, we got a couple new people coming on. One I'm going to wait to announce till next week. But yeah, we got a lot of great people.
Do I know about it?
Yes, you do. Yeah.
All right, making sure that I know who it is.
But yeah, and yeah, we have a lot of great things coming in. I mean, we're working on a rookie metric. It's a lot of work. Numbers, which obviously I am not that good at. So
I'd use my fingers to get to 32.
But yeah, a lot of great things coming in. Keep checking out the site.
You can find me on Twitter at TimDynastyFF. You can find the show at DynastyHHPod on Twitter. Again, the website, DynastyHappyHour.com. And the email, DynastyHappyHour@gmail.com. Like you said, a sample article. Shoot it over to us. If we like it, that article can get published. My advice to anybody that's never wrote anything before, written. Okay, thanks, Chris.
This is why you don't do the editing.
Yeah, Chris is the smart one here. Would be write something that interests you. If there's a style of article that you normally search out, like I wrote an article last year about deep dives and rookie drafts. I love that sort of thing. So every year I was looking for articles like that. So I wrote one myself. So if there's something you like, focus on that. That'll really bring your best foot forward. So,
yep, you can't type fast enough on those articles, the ones that you really get into. Yeah. And yeah, mine was Dynasty Auctions 101. I love auctions. And yeah, that was my thing. Like I was thinking and I was typing, but my typing couldn't catch up with my thinking. Yeah. So I completely agree.
So all right. With that, anybody else got any last words?
Nope.
No, just draft season, keep rolling. You know, we got the combine coming up beginning of March, so something to look forward to. I know it's the dead period, so just hang in there. Things are coming.
Other than that, draft, trade, win, repeat.
That's all the time we got today for another Dynasty Happy Hour. Be sure and follow the guys on Twitter at DHHGunth, at ChrisWhitman11, at TimDynastyFF, and most importantly, at DynastyHHPod. The music for this podcast was brought to you by The Morning Kings. Be sure and check them out at themorningkings.com. Catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.